E.
Ooh.
I heard your bum bum.
Damn it.
It was beautiful.
Does it play the little song for you while it's waiting?
Only if I call you.
So I love that little song.
Bum bum. That's all I heard.
Abby, we're back.
We are back.
After, I don't know how long.
It's fine. It's a pandemic. It's everybody's first pandemic. Don't judge us, okay?
That's true. Can you? Never mind. I don't want to talk about the pandemic too much.
Okay. Well, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure we will.
So just this episode is called Real Sad Girl Shit / Sad Girl Summer / Satan Girl Summer. Because this is episode six.
Six. Oh, I thought we were going to go back and forth with it.
Oh, you want to?
I, like, really felt that that's what you were having me do, and I just, like, I knew it in my heart.
Kayla, you don't know me like that, all right? We don't even really know each other that well. We just met, like, 5 minutes ago.
You're right.
Do you want to try it, though? Because mm-hmm. that sounds fun. Okay. It's episode six.
Six. That was a lag. I don't know.
Why don't you tweet at us and tell us which one you like better, and then we'll go back and edit it.
Yeah. Two versions of the podcast.
It's like the director's cut.
Oh my God. Abby. Right.
Kayla.
What are you drinking?
Honestly, like, we were supposed to start this podcast like an hour and 17 minutes ago, so I've been drinking wine for like 2 hours and 17 minutes.
Holy shit.
Wasted.
All right.
This will be a good one. I think I'm still drinking the same box of wine from last time. I only ever drink box wine for this podcast. So I would like Trader Joe's to please sponsor me and send me box wine so I can keep doing podcasts, please.
So should this episode be called Box Wine Girl Summer?
I would say, like, real Trader Joe's girl shit.
Or, like, Satan box wine.
The possibilities are endless.
You just have to add, just a couple words, and you've got...
Real box sad girl wine shit.
Satan.
Satan wine. Brought to you by Trader Joe's.
Oh, man.
Kayla, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking, I think the same thing that I was drinking last time, which is a whole lot of lemon juice. Why do I always say lime? Whatever. Whole lot of lemon juice. You know, it's up to you how many shots of gin, but it was quite a few for me tonight, because I had to catch up to Abby.
I mean, what can I
say? And a little creme de violette. Once again, because I just like it. It's pretty. And I think it has a nice little flavor. There's no simple syrup in this time because I don't have any sugar, but mix it all together and then throw in some seltzer water.
I would like to rewind to the part when Kayla and I started talking this evening. And I just hear her go, fuck it, I'm adding another shot.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of the spirit of the drink tonight.
Well, yeah, because it was, like, almost the end of the bottle, and I thought, I'm just going to be upset when I go to make another drink that I have to then open the next bottle, so I'm just going to finish this one.
That's self-preservation, baby. Like, that's
show the big. American dream.
Yes. No, the American dream is driving with your AC on and your windows down.
I would never do that.
Well, when it's really hot, sometimes you gotta.
I just suffer until it's cool, I think.
Then you've never lived the American dream.
Mm.
That's just that. So, Kayla, what have you been listening to in the podosphere besides Postgrad, the official podcast?
Yeah, I mean, this is my favorite podcast, but I have a couple more.
Okay.
So, first one, if I travel back in time, was 1619 from the New York Times. It's obviously available on whatever platform you listen to this podcast on. But did you like that?
I love it.
But if you can't listen to a podcast for whatever reason, the transcripts from the podcast are also available on the New York Times website. And I don't think that's behind a paywall.
I think they removed it from behind the paywall because it's been such a popular series.
Yeah, I hadn't heard about it. I just, like, click on things on the podcast app.
You're like an explorer.
Yeah, I mean, some of them I just listen to and then I'm like, yeah, this isn't for me, but that one was really good. And all the episodes, wow.
All the what?
All the edit it out. All the episodes were really different, but obviously there was like a common thread. But yeah, I really, really enjoyed it. I would totally listen to it again. I think it's a limited sort of series, sequence, whatever they call them. So I don't think there's going to be any more, but yeah, super highly recommended. Then the next one, which I'm still listening to right now, because there are multiple seasons, is called 13 Minutes to the Moon by the BBC. I love space. I think it's super cool. When I was a kid, it freaked me out.
Same.
I have a couple of stories about that, which maybe I'll tell later. But, like, when I was a kid, I was not vibing with space. But now I think that it is super, super cool. And I really like 13 Minutes to the Moon. The first season is about Apollo. Let's see. Apollo. Whichever is the one that they first landed on the moon, which is, what, Apollo 8?
Dude, something? I have no idea. I was going to be like Apollo 1 because it was the first one, but that's fine.
Yeah, yeah, it's 8 because it's the one with what was his name? Armstrong? Yeah. And Buzz Aldrin, I think.
Yeah. That sounds right. Yeah.
But also it just talks about NASA in general and the Apollo program because obviously it was ongoing. So super cool. And the best part is, and I didn't know this when I first started listening to it, is that the like music for the podcast is written by Hans Zimmer, who is like the super famous just movie composer. He wrote the music for, I mean, you've definitely heard it. Let's see. Pirates of the Caribbean. What else?
Whoa, I just had a blast from the past of being in the orchestra with you in the seventh grade.
Yeah, I love Hans Zimmer. Inception, Interstellar, The Dark Knight. Like, he is the real deal, and they got him for this podcast, which is, I think, just the coolest thing ever, because I love podcasts, and obviously, I love music, and I just thought it was a fun little collab, so yeah, and when they play the music, it is so dramatic, like, it's kind of obscene.
Yeah, it's whole deal, like, all those movies you listed have, like, some of the most intense scores of any movie that I could think of.
Yeah, it is. It's super, super cool. Like, I can't say enough good things about it. But when you listen to it and the music comes on, you kind of imagine, like, being in the orchestra. Or at least I do. I don't know. Being in the orchestra while you're filming this, like, incredible music. And it's just for a podcast. I mean, like, not just, you know, like, podcasts are just as cool as anything else. But, like, I don't know. It just is really exciting to see that kind of thing happen for something that, I don't know, like, 5 or 10 years ago, people were like, what the hell is a podcast?
So what you're saying is, like, your two nerd loves come together.
Yeah, kind of. I really like the podcast. It has the whole 13-minute audio of when they, you know, descended onto the lunar surface. And there's a lot of static, so, like, it's kind of tough to listen to. But there's a man, the guy that's narrating the podcast, talks about, you know, what everything means, and I'm not gonna, like, get super into it because I have other podcasts to talk about, but, like, it's very cool. Highly recommend it. I love space. All right, sorry, I'm gonna speed through the next two. obviously this weekend of virology, I've been recommending this one every single time. We are, if you haven't heard, in a global pandemic.
No.
And the worst part is that the United States is doing so poorly. Yeah. actually. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. So it's hosted by mainly a guy named Vincent Racaniello, who teaches virology at Columbia University. And some other teachers from around the country. Obviously, it's a virtual, they, you know, recorded virtually. I think they did that even before the pandemic, though, because, like, you know, one of the guys is in Texas, some other people are in Maryland, somebody's in Michigan. So, super high quality, really informative, and, like, sort of no bullshit, like, facts, kind of sciencey. Like, you have to know what some of the stuff means, but it's pretty easy to follow. And once a week, they do, like, a clinical update with this doctor who works in New York, and he talks about, you know, how things are going from the hospital end of things. And, yeah, it's just obviously, the podcast is not only about COVID. It's been around for, like, 10-plus years, but that's the big thing right now. So every episode is pretty much about COVID, but it's really good. I love science. All right, next podcast. this one is like I've only listened to this sort of sporadically throughout the years, but Pod Save America. Obviously, a whole lot of it right now is about the upcoming election, which I didn't even think about the fact that we could talk about that, but I'm not quite ready to talk about it. I have a lot of thoughts.
Yeah.
As I know that you also do, but yeah, I'm not ready to talk about it, but Pod Save America, good podcast if you're a dirty fucking liberal.
Yeehaw, motherfuckers.
Love that. Oh, Abby, I just got a text from, because I asked him to get me that new summer, like, tea drink from Starbucks, the pink one.
Uh-huh.
But they closed.
No.
But I'm, this is so stupid. I'm really surprised that he remembered, because he just fucking forgets everything I ask him to get. Like, the other night when he went to the grocery store for ginger, and that's the only thing I asked him for, and he comes back, I was like, so where's the ginger? And of course he doesn't have the ginger.
Dude, what? Oh my god.
I mean, he went and got me ginger the next day, and it is the largest ginger I've ever owned.
Yeah, he made up for it.
Yeah, he was like, oh shit.
Why did you keep the big ginger, y'all? I fucked up.
Yeah, I used to, god, okay, I'm really excited to talk about, can I just, like, go straight into my chili oil that I made, because I'm really excited to talk about it.
That's not even on the outline.
I don't care, I want to just talk about it. We just moved into our new apartment, like, 3-4 days ago, and so obviously I'm, like, in the kitchen, Kayla's kitchen style, and so I wanted to make my own chili oil, because I love chili oil, and the one from Trader Joe's, the chili onion crunch, is incredible. Amazing.
Didn't you have, like, 6 jars of that in your apartment at one point?
Yes. Yeah. Like, we're not even exaggerating. I wish we still had the video. But, yeah, it's unstoppable. Yeah. I have a million things to say about it, but it's not hot. Like, it's not spicy.
Okay.
And so I decided to make my own chili oil, and it's spicy. so it's, I got a microplane, which, if you like cooking, highly recommend, get yourself a microplane. It was like $8.
If you like having 10 fingers, however, don't do it.
No. It doesn't hurt.
They have all said that. Everyone has said that since the beginning of time. Tell that to my fucking fingy.
I think you're thinking of a mandolin slicer.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, one fucked me up. The microplane is what you can use to grate something like nutmeg over pasta.
Oh, yeah, I have one of those. Guys, yeah. If you have to wear a fucking chainmail glove to use a kitchen implement, like, you shouldn't.
Yeah, I hate watching cooking videos with people when they use a mandolin. I'm just like, come on, just slice it. Like, I know it's way faster and way cooler, but, like, I cannot be here for this. It just freaks me out. Also, because
it's got a good twang, though, you know?
It's very satisfying to know that every single piece of your zucchini is exactly the same thickness, but like one time.
That was a mandolin pun.
Oh my God. Fuck.
I'm so sorry.
Long story short, I sliced the tip of my finger off using a mandolin one time, and I had to cancel a paid gig that was the next day. So I don't like using those things.
So your chili oil.
Chili oil. Okay. So I got a microplane, and I used it to grate up some garlic, ginger, a shallot. God, every single time. I do it every time. A shallot into a little mason jar with some salt and then some red pepper flakes. You can use any kind of pepper, like chili pepper that you have, but that's all I had right now because, like I said, I just moved. And I threw in some cayenne just for the color. And then I heated up some oil on the stove. Usually I use, like, canola oil, but this time I used avocado oil because that's what I had. And also, I fucking love avocado oil. I heated it up, like, not super hot. Like, not as hot as you would want it to be if you were, like, about to sear something. Just keep it on medium until it's, like, hot enough to where the oil is moving around in the pan like it's water. And you just pour it in the jar and then let it do its thing. And then you got chili oil.
That sounds incredible.
It's so easy. And it's real spicy. I'm going to try it with other chili peppers later when I get some, but we don't have very many groceries right now. So that's what I had. It worked. I'm very happy about it. Abby, I want to know what you have been enjoying recently.
So this is my segment and I'm testing out names for it. Because I don't listen to podcasts as much as Kayla, but I do report out on content. And so here's the test drive. The segment is called Now is the Summer of Our Discontent Content. And I hate it already. Fuck my life.
Wait. I know, but I'm just surprised that you said discontent and then content instead of just saying now is the summer of our discontent.
You know what? You're right. I like that. Okay. Well, notes for next time.
Okay.
Nevertheless. So I've been watching the show Unwell on Netflix, which is about sort of different weird facets of the, like, quote-unquote wellness industry. So I've seen two episodes so far, one on essential oils and the sort of, like, multi-level marketing schemes around those, which is Wild Fucking West. And I'll get into
that
again. And then the second episode is about tantric sex, which is also really strange. But then there are, like, other episodes later on that I haven't seen yet about, like, bodybuilders who drink breast milk, beasting therapy and shit like that. So, like, there's all these different sort of, like, focal points within the wellness industry. And it's, like, basically, like, the point is it's this, like, trillion-dollar industry designed around telling you what's wrong with you and how spending money on, you know, this person's company or product can fix it.
Yep.
But dude, okay, so the essential oil one was, like, really what drew me in. And I saw the preview and I was like, I know probably, like, five girls from high school who are involved in that shit. And, like, I have always known it to be a pyramid scheme. So, like, I don't understand why other people don't know. But, like, basically the premise is, like, you go and you have, like, a sale party and you're, like, trying to sell the oils that are, you know, they have all of these, like, therapeutic uses, allegedly, and, like, you can put them in your soap and in your laundry detergent and diffusers, and, like, they have all these different effects, like, depending on the type of oil. And, like, selling the oil is not the point. The point is to, like, recruit people to sell the oil.
Yep.
And the documentary does a really good job of explaining, like, how the pyramid scheme works and how money is generated for the people at the top. And I will say, I think I'm sort of, like, shitting on the concept because I feel strongly about it, but, like, they also do interview people from, like, all different perspectives, and so you get sort of, like, I mean, as an outsider looking in, like, a fairly holistic lens on the industry, and you have people that are, you know, really into it, that are, like, yes, I really believe that this is, like, a thing that helps people, and here's why I do it, and here's why I think that. And then you have people on the outside who are, like, this is fucking toxic, or this industry abused me, and here's what I have to say about it. And so I think the show is really well done in that way. But also, like, holy shit, dude. Like, it's truly wild.
Yeah.
Hearing about the kind of, like, cult fast, I mean, truly cultish, I mean, especially in the tantric sex episode, you hear about, like, basically ritual sex abuse and, like, cult groups who, you know, like, allegedly, like, teach people about, you know, these practices and stuff under the guise of wellness and how people are taken advantage of. It's really sad and, like, I don't know. Like, I think the wellness industry is, like, something that sort of flies under the radar in a lot of ways because we don't think about it as potentially harmful because it literally markets itself as something that's going to keep you happy and healthy and safe.
Yeah. And there's so much, like, money and power behind it. I mean, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about this before on the podcast. Like, the diet industry is a perfect example where, like, you create these things for people to feel insecure about and then you profit off of them. And it's so exploitative.
Yeah.
And, like, there was one story that really stuck with me, a woman who was interviewed in the essential oil episode who was having a reaction to the oils that she was consuming and applying so much of them that her body basically rejected them.
And yeah, those are very dangerous.
Yeah. And, like, everybody in her, like, support network and the people that she was around were telling her, like, oh, that's your body detoxing, you just need to apply more. And so she had, like, skin reactions for, like, something like 6 or 7 years because she did so much damage during that time. Even after she stopped, it took years for her body to, like, recover. And now she has, like, chronic allergies to these ingredients because she basically, like, overloaded her body with something that, like, did not need to be there. And then you think about, like, the amount of money that was made off of her suffering. Like, it's fucking toxic. It's crazy. It blows my mind. I don't know. I mean, again, like, we've talked a lot about, like, the diet industry and, like, profiting off of people's body image issues, but there are so many other iterations of the same story happening, and there's so much money in it. So it's wild. I mean, well worth a watch, but, like, yikes.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know anything about the sex stuff, so I'm not going to speak on it, but a lot of reading about essential oils and how, like, people will, like, consume them, and that is literally poisonous. Like, don't eat them. Don't put them in your food or your drinks. Don't smoke them. None of that.
Yeah.
I said I'll check it out. That sounds interesting.
It is very interesting. I do know there's, like, one about, like, intermittent fasting, and, like, that's been sort of, like, flagged by, like, folks that I follow on Instagram as, like, if you struggle with disordered eating, like, maybe skip that one. Mm-hmm. I haven't watched it myself, but, like, just as a, you know, a heads
up. Yeah. Basically, speaking of, you know, trillion-dollar industries that are designed to make you feel bad about yourself, this is a thing that I've seen, like, a lot online, like, on social media and stuff. And someone will, like, post a picture of themselves, and then people in the comments will be like, oh my god, like, skinny legend, or, like, skinny queen. And it's like, I don't know. I had some thoughts about it recently. I've always had some negative thoughts about it because it's like, nobody ever says fat queen or, like, fat legend, you know?
I've honestly, like, I've never seen that phrase in the wild, but I'm also completely unsurprised.
Yeah, I, there was one more, but I can't remember what it was. But it's just, like, weird how casual something like that is. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, it is. If you boil it down, like, you're commenting on the size of someone's body. Whether or not you feel like it's a negative thing, like, that's what you're doing. And I don't know. It just, like, rubs me the wrong way because I feel like saying that, like, it's automatically considered a compliment. Like, people want to be called that.
Right.
You know? And I feel like if you reversed it and said something like, oh, fat queen, whatever, obviously in some circles, like, that would totally be okay and people would be fine with it and feel good about it.
Dude, but, I was like, going to say, like, get on my Instagram now and be like, yes, like, fat legend.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Like, I think for some people, it would be totally fine. But I think generally speaking,
yeah,
people would think of it as, you know, negative or offensive. And so I feel personally like that very fact is kind of like proof that, like, people that live and exist in thin bodies do not experience any kind of oppression. I mean, people are like, oh my god, people tell me to eat a sandwich, blah blah blah. Oh my god. I don't know. It's
I mean, I think that's, like, one of those, like, casual examples of fat phobia that show up, like, day in and day out, like, par for the course. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
That and, like, seeing things like, oh, body goals. It's like, have you ever seen that written on anyone's social media other than, like, a thin white girl, you know?
Yes, but I think only because I, like, aggressively follow body positive TikTok accounts.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. But it's the, I don't know, even that, it's like, there is no goal, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like there's too much of this thought that, like, a body is something that needs to be changed rather than it's just, like, something that you get to exist in.
Right. Yeah, it's not a commodity. It's, like, that's your vessel. Like, it's so much more important and more, I mean, not to get, like, all, like, crunchy and woo-woo, but, like, it's so much more sacred than, like, fucking, like, wanting the shirt that somebody else has or, like, the bag somebody else has. Like, fucking respect yourself and, like, have some reverence for the fact that, like, your body carries you through this world and, like, is yours and is you and deserves better than to be, like, reduced to something that you want to, like, tweak and change to be something similar to someone else.
Yeah. I like that.
Dude, I don't know. I just feel like this whole, like, the wellness industry and like, the self-care industry as well, it can be so exploitative. Like, and we've said this, like, times, like, it preys on making you feel bad and then making you spend money because you feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, part of watching this show has gotten me thinking about, like, imagining if there weren't financial barriers to, like, well-being, like, you know, obviously things like healthcare, but also, you know, access to quality food. You know, I talk about, like, food deserts and stuff like that.
Yeah. Access to
parks and green spaces to, like, get out and, like, move your body. Mental health resources. Like, there are so many iterations of things that, like, it costs money to be well. And yeah, that's not, like, dipping the toe into, like, the bottomless pool that is, you know, like, epigenetics and, like, generational trauma and how that impacts, like, physical well-being and, you know, the ways in which, you know, like, in our current moment right now with COVID, like, the ways that the Black and brown communities are disproportionately impacted because of all of these compounding factors that have to do with wellness.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And then this, like, again, this prevailing narrative that, like, self-care is a face mask and, you know, buying nice things for yourself. Like, it doesn't have to be. Like, you can do nice things for yourself and take good care of yourself in ways that are free. And, like, you know, obviously, like, the sort of, like, day-to-day self-care is not the same as, like, those, like, big structural systemic financial barriers that I just mentioned. But, like, I think it's important to remember that self-care isn't always spending money. And so I made a list of free things that have been keeping me well during quarantine.
Okay.
So my first one, naturally, is getting good sleep. God, I fucking love sleeping. Like, it's just, like, first of all, it's good for you. Second of all, if you're sad, you can go to sleep and you probably will feel better when you wake up.
True. But I'm going to counter with, what about people who have to work two jobs to make ends meet? They're probably not getting good sleep.
You're right.
I'm not trying to argue with you. I'm just trying to, like, make all of our thousands of listeners.
True. Yes.
Like, see how, like, every single thing that could be, like, you know, considered self-care or just something along those lines, like, there's always, like, some level of, like, privilege involved. not meaning that you shouldn't do it if you can, but just like
have the perspective.
About.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Think about how, you know, how lucky you are to have a nice comfy bed to get some good sleep in.
You're right.
But I'm not trying to make you feel bad about it. I'm just like,
no, but like, it's a good point that like the things that are easy to take for granted as like very accessible sometimes aren't.
Yeah.
My next one is yoga, which again, like you need a place to do it. And like, arguably you need a mat, although I don't buy that. I think you can do yoga with very little or no equipment.
Yeah. You could use a bath towel,
mm-hmm.
but okay. You could probably find one at Goodwill or something. I mean, I don't know. I have a problem with that personally, saying that to people who can't afford things. Like, oh, well, you can find it at a thrift store. Because like, I feel like...
you're lucky.
What'd you say?
Like, maybe, if you're lucky.
Well, maybe if you're lucky, but also it's like, well, just, I don't think that people that, like, can't afford to go buy a new one should always have to settle for used or, you know, I don't know. There's a lot of layers to it. Obviously, that is the more sustainable option for everyone. But I think even now, like, thrift stores and stuff are being sort of, I don't know how to describe it. People are buying things really cheap at a thrift store and then reselling them at, like, obscene prices. And I just don't think that... you know, a poor person's only option should ever be, well, go buy it secondhand.
Yeah, that's...
and then you can have what all the well-off people have, you know? I don't know. That, but, yeah, that is an option if you would like to get one, but that's how I feel about Goodwill. Obviously, I love Goodwill, but I was just thinking about that the other day, about how, like, that is just, that's always, like, the argument. It's like, well, if you don't like how expensive things are, then go buy them secondhand. It's like, well, what about making things affordable for everyone?
Right.
But yeah, anyway, please continue.
So my third item, and I'm like looking ahead at my list and wondering how you're going to nuance them. And I love it, which is good. It's productive. It's good to think critically. My third one is connecting with my friends and family intentionally and making time to actually, like, have meaningful conversations instead of texting back and forth for 6 months. Which I think is especially important during this sort of, like, weird pandemic time when you can't spend a lot of time with people face-to-face.
Yeah. I don't really have a sort of breakdown of that one. I mean, like, that's really important, you know, even if it's not family, like, that connection is just important for everyone, I think.
Yeah, and I think, like, chosen family, too, right? Like, not just, like, your, like, nuclear family.
But, yeah, like, precisely.
The people in your life that make you feel most yourself and loved.
Yeah, and listeners, if you need someone to talk to, you can always send us a message on Instagram or Twitter, and we'll talk to you.
And we'll put you on the podcast, and you'll be in our chosen family.
Yeah.
Unless you're a jackass.
And then we'll block you.
Fuck you. All right, so my fourth one. This is a good one. This is my favorite. Actually,
okay.
One of my faves. Straight-up masturbation. Hmm? That shit is free. And, like, the dopamine. The serotonin.
Who the fuck is serotonin?
Who the fuck is serotonin? Truly. Honestly, though, like, highly recommend.
For sure. I don't really have an argument for that one other than young people. Well, not only young people, but, like, some people that just don't know their bodies because they were taught for forever, like, this is very, very bad. You're going to hell. You shouldn't do this. They're really missing out.
But that's part of the joy of masturbation is, like, the goal is not orgasm, like, the goal is pleasure, and, like, exploring your body and, like, learning what feels good is part of that, and, like, that is masturbation.
No, I know, but even that, like, people are taught that that's bad.
Well, you know what, there's no time like the present, so get on out there, rub one out.
Yep. Or, well, yeah,
touch your junk.
There you go.
Just get after it. All right, number five. having a motherfucking crush. That shit is free, y'all. And then even better, this is like 5.1. 5A. Okay. Having a motherfucking crush on someone who has a motherfucking dog. And then getting to snuggle that dog. The end. And I was told that I should shout out that dog's Instagram page. So it's this.islizzie. So if anyone wants to look at a really good dog, go check
Lizzie
it out.
Lizzie spelled L-I-Z-Z-I-E.
Yes, thank you.
I was wondering, I saw that written in the outline. I was like, damn, did you get permission?
Not only did I get permission, I was given instructions.
Okay, good. I love that. Good, good, good.
Number six. Thanks. Stealing puzzles from your workplace. That only works for people who work places where there are puzzles. Yeah. It's fine. I return them afterwards. Number seven, and item the final, listening to Harry Styles' Watermelon Sugar. Again, I say, who the fuck is serotonin? Okay, I'm done.
That's one of the, you hear. I heard that here all the time on TikTok. You know?
Yeah.
Obviously, which RIP TikTok.
Oh yeah, it's going down.
Yeah, I mean, it's really cool how he banned a video app before he banned the KKK. But okay.
That started as a laugh and then it almost became a cry.
But so that one I hear on TikTok. The other one I hear on TikTok, which I don't know what it's called. I think maybe it's called something like Pretty Boy. I don't know. Let me look it up.
Oh, the one that you're always talking about.
I love that one. And it's such a dirty song. Like I went to look it up and it's dirty.
You talked to my mom when she discovered like any song in the world.
I mean, not that it stopped me from listening to it, but I just like didn't expect it. And then I like looked up the lyrics and listened to the whole thing and I was like, oh my word, you know, like that. Michael.
All right, now I want to look. We should do a dramatic reading.
Let me make sure I know what it's called.
Excuse my clicking and clacking. I just need to know. It's called Stunning.
Oh, that's what it is. Yeah, it's a little dirty.
All right, you ready for this? I'm going to do a dramatic reading.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm nervous.
I've picked a random verse here.
Okay.
Hey, good pussy sound like pasta. I got young dick, call the pastor. She give good brain, she a master. Little Einstein bitch, I'm a blast off. I think that's enough. Oh my god, it keeps going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well,
I was alarmed, but it is what it is.
I like it. I'm gonna listen to that after this podcast is over.
Yeah, there's only been one song in the history of the world about sex that I was like, this should not have been written. There are plenty that I don't like.
Was it that?
No. I don't remember what it was called and I don't want to look it up because the words are I'm not gonna share this with our listeners. I'm sorry, I can't do it.
Is it Rocket Man by Elton John?
No. That's about sex.
No.
No.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Oh god. It's so horrible.
All right.
So I'm not gonna do a dramatic reading because I would literally probably vomit, but I'll tell you what.
Is it a song that says dick bicycle?
No. I've never told you about it because it came up on my Discover Weekly on Spotify once and I was like, hell no. And I clicked on the button that was like, never ever put this on my like, you know, the button where it's like, I don't like this.
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, basically. So the song is called Too Repressed and the artist is called Sometimes Why, but sometimes is spelled Sometymes.
It's a folk song.
It's horrible. And there's only 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 lines. And it is the worst song ever written. I hate it. I don't want anyone to listen to it, but I know everyone is about to listen to it. I'm pretty sure Noah's looking it up right now.
Literally just pulled it up. Apparently Chris Thiele is on this track.
That's unfortunate, and I think less of him for that. I hate it so much.
Oh my god, I can't wait to listen. I love the lyrics already. Oh, Kayla. Should we pivot?
Yeah, let's pivot.
An ad, perhaps?
Yes, good idea.
Okay.
Listeners, Abby and I keep a Google Doc where we just brainstorm for the next episode, and it's shared with both of us. We just edit it. And one day I was just like really, I was in my feelings. And I just typed this out. And later on, Abby told me that she was worried about me and thought about texting me after she saw
it. It wasn't just this part. There was other parts that I was like, Jesus. Although to be fair, I woke up this morning in exactly that mood. And that's exactly where my content came from today.
Yeah, sometimes you're just like, damn, does this have to be reality? All right. So here are here it is word for word. Circa, I don't know when I typed this out. All caps. Wow. Okay, so I fucking miss doing normal shit, like taking my goddamn laptop to the coffee shop and eating a sandwich and ordering 3 cappuccinos while writing or reading a book. And not worrying about contracting a motherfucking deadly virus. I miss cooking for people outside of my household. I miss taking a weekend trip to visit Abby's family and eating tendies and drinking 17 Sour Monkeys and her taking really horrible pictures of me while I'm wasted. I miss going for shopping. Damn it! It's happening. I miss going shopping for stupid shit like fancy soap and skincare serums. And that was me. Really feeling those pandemic blues, that Satan girl sad summer.
Sad girl Satan box wine summer. And then my tantrum this morning fueled the following continuation. I miss going dancing in DC with my brother and his husband and doing gay shit on the streets. I miss wandering through the aisles and thrift stores, touching fucking everything without worrying about COVID.
Yeah.
I miss not having a fight or flight reaction when someone gets close to me by the milk substitutes and Trader fucking Joe's. Like, you don't need to get almond milk right now. I'm standing here.
The milk substitutes. Not the milk, the milk substitutes.
You know exactly what section I'm talking about. That is a vivid image. I miss being able to go places and not sweat from every pore of my body. And that's not a pandemic thing. I just really want fall to happen so I can drive to the mountains and wear a sweater and have bonfires. And then I miss fucking Target, dude.
Yeah.
That's my list. I'm mad.
Yeah, I think.
Also, I want to take a crush on a dinner date, like a real dinner date. Like, I want to, like, go to a restaurant, like a nice restaurant, get a little bit dressed up, like, have, like, drinks and appetizers and, like, the whole thing.
Yeah, I'm not going to. Going out to eat has always been my favorite thing.
Yeah.
And this is really, really hard, but like, yeah, you will not catch me inside of a restaurant anytime soon.
Gotta catch them all. You won't catch her.
I mean, it's just not worth it. Like, as much as I'm telling you, like, that is, I would list that among my hobbies.
Going out to eat?
Yes, absolutely. And I'm just, it's like, no, it's literally not worth it to me. And when people go, I'm just like, why are you doing that? Like, why?
I think the biggest thing is, like, even if you feel safe doing it, like, it doesn't feel fair to the wait staff who, like, probably don't have health insurance, who are probably making minimum wage. Like,
yeah, I mean,
and you're willing to accept the risk of being there for like an hour, whatever. Fine. That's you. But, like, your choice doesn't exist in a vacuum, and it doesn't feel okay to, like, potentially put a wait staff or, like, a server at risk because, like, you wanted to go eat a sandwich inside.
Yep. And no matter how much you think, oh, you know, it's fine, I'm not, you know, I don't have it, or you just don't know. Like, you don't know, and, like, why.
And you know what the thing about eating is you can't do it with a mask on. Oh, Kayla. You're there. Okay. That happened again.
Sorry, I just got a like a, it's not a flashback, but it's like a flash. Flash.
Are you okay?
Just a flash. A flash into my head where I saw, yeah, I'm fine. It's a, I saw this video. It's about eating and masks. It's relevant.
I'm like very confused and concerned.
My friend sent me this video of these people in a restaurant, a couple, an older couple, like they had to be at least 50, which like, first of all, why are you inside of a restaurant? Whatever. And so they put, they have masks on, but they each have two masks on because they have one above their lip and one below their lip so that when they open their mouth, their masks open.
Oh my God, no.
And but the most ridiculous part of the video is that the way that they're doing it, but they're like seriously just having a meal, talking, like having conversations with each other with masks on, like opening, chewing, and it's like, why do you guys look so casual right now, looking like total dumbasses? Like, are you kidding me?
I would pay so much money to see that right now.
I wish, I'm gonna try and find it, I'll send it to you, but it is, God, it's so funny. Oh my.
On Twitter if you can find it again.
Okay. Also, speaking of people doing stupid shit with masks on, and I'm just going to go for it. So somebody that I went to college with.
Oh, no.
So I went to music school. So a lot of my college friends and schoolmates are all musicians. And somebody posted a video of them performing. They play the trumpet. And they had a mask on, but they cut a teeny tiny hole to put the trumpet through so that they could play.
I'm sorry, isn't the entire point of a trumpet to spew mouth juice?
Yeah, I mean, that was... it didn't do anything. Like, nothing.
Oh my God.
But he, sorry, they, I didn't want to give it away, but I'm sure everybody knows who the fuck I'm talking about. yeah, it, I was like, are you kidding me? Like, either don't do it or just take your mask off. Like, don't cut a hole in your mask.
Plot twist, it was Noah the whole time.
Thankfully it wasn't. I will say that.
Oh my goodness. Kayla, let's talk about something happier.
We are really, we're really getting somewhere with this drink, just by the way. Oh, okay. The outline really does look like a watermelon.
That was the point.
Do you ever, oh my God, I want to talk about something happy.
Okay.
Okay, do you want to talk about something happy?
Yeah, please, God.
Just briefly. It's not on the outline, but it's just like, I'm just going to mention it real quick, and then we can talk about other things that are on the outline. Not again. that are on the outline. So we are rewatching Harry Potter right now. Uh-huh. And it has been years since I watched them.
Yeah.
It's been
a long time.
Because, like, we owned the DVDs when I was growing up. And obviously, I watched them with my parent. Well, not my mom. But, like, my dad and I and my brother, like, we would just rewatch the same movies over and over because we had them on DVD. And so, obviously, Harry Potter, stuff like that. Like, I probably could recite every word of those. Lord of the Rings, same way. Just, like, a couple random movies here and there that we just watched a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been so long. But, like, and obviously, like, fuck J.K. Rowling, like, we don't talk about her. She's not part of it. But everything besides her, it just, like, makes me feel really good. Like, I feel, I don't know, it's just, like, nice to sort of remember being young and, like, first reading it and how cool it was. And it's still pretty cool, so.
Yeah, I haven't revisited those stories in so long, but now I really want to.
Yeah, I'm 100% about to reread the series. Like, it's just something that I used to reread them every summer growing up, like, when I was a child. And it was just, it was just this nice, like, just felt really nostalgic. And so I'm definitely going to do that now. I'm really looking forward to it. It's been at least 5 years since I read them, if not more.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'm pumped. I think it's just going to be nice to read something that I'm familiar with, but, like, it's just going to feel homey, comfortable, you know?
Yeah, and, like, kind of take you back to that time when, I don't know, there wasn't a fucking global pandemic.
Yeah, just, like, better times. That's what I like about rereading and rewatching things, is that not only are you, you know, experiencing it again in a different way, but you're kind of, like, always going to have that memory of how you felt, you know, the last time or the first time or whatever when you were reading or experiencing that thing. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty excited about it. That's something that's getting me pretty pumped up.
Hell fucking yeah.
Yeah, we only have the very last Harry Potter, the second part of Deathly Hallows. That's the last movie we have to watch. What?
When we went to go see that at midnight and we cried.
Yes,
because it was the end of our childhood.
I that experience was so different than any other experiences I had at that age. Like, that was so much of, like, what so many people our age were interested in and, like, talking about. It was huge. Like, it was a big deal.
Yeah, it was.
And so, like, you know, last movie comes out. Obviously, the last book had been out. Like, that's it. There's no more Harry Potter happening. And, I mean, you know, that's what we thought. Obviously, they have those, like, spinoff, like, the Fantastic Beasts. But I've never seen those.
Neither have I. I never engaged.
I'm getting... Someone's asking me if we're watching those or not. But I... Okay, we'll do it. But, like, at the time, that was it. That was the last thing. And I'm going to be honest with you, this is going to sound really dramatic, but after I dropped you back off at your house, after we went to see the midnight showing, I just felt numb. Like, I didn't know how I felt.
Yeah, same. Like, it felt like that was the end of something big.
Yeah. And I was just, like, walking around my house the next day and I didn't know what to do. Everything felt wrong and bad, but, like, I wasn't crying until much later. And then I was like, crying a lot. But, like, what a time. Like, what?
Yeah, truly, what a time.
Time
makes me so nauseated.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's like, I don't know, it's terrifying and kind of exciting and just sort of, I don't know if everybody, like, spends as much time thinking about the past as I do, because obviously I'm not in everybody's head, but, like, I feel like I spend a lot of time thinking about that. I don't know if it's good or not, but, like, yeah, I don't know. That was just, like, a good time in my life, and so looking back on it, it feels nice to think about.
I like it. I'm glad it's bringing you some joy.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it, so I can't wait to just sit in my chair, which is... Funny enough, the same chair that I read Harry Potter in many, many times growing up, because it used to be my grandma's chair.
Aw.
Yeah, so that's, I don't know, just a...
That's, like, very full circle. I love it.
So, I was just thinking the other day about, first of all, I'm really, really happy with the job that I have right now.
Fuck.
I know I've said that before on the... I almost said on the pandemic.
Yes.
I've said that before on the podcast, but, like, I've tried to get a remote job for way longer than a pandemic, and I finally did get one, and I'm really happy. Like, I really like it. I feel like it gives me enough time to do other things that I enjoy, which just so happen to be things at home. which is good because we're in a pandemic.
Yeah, you're, like, cut out in some ways for this whole quarantine thing. Like, you've always wanted to be at home.
I know. Yeah. I mean, there are definitely things that I'm like, damn, I just, like, little things that I just, it would be so nice to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't. But... for the most part, I'm okay. There are days, but yeah, I'm okay.
Good.
But I was just thinking, it kind of sometimes feels like, I was just like getting the feeling, kind of gross feeling, that like people weren't really like respecting my job and like how it's a job and I'm earning money from it. And I didn't like that. And like people were telling me how they felt like, you know, I was destined for more or whatever. And I just feel like that may be true, but I don't personally think that like my life goal, like my quote unquote destiny, if that's even a thing that I believe in, like has anything to do with a job.
True.
Like, I remember telling my coworker before like COVID happened that like I just got so tired of people talking about like a dream job, because like it's not my dream to work. I don't really have much more to say about it other than like, and like for some people like there probably is a dream job and that's so cool for them and like I love that, but personally for me, like, just, like, everything, like, nothing is one size fits all. And so there are always going to be people that are, like, not working their quote-unquote dream job because it doesn't exist for them. Because they like, a job, the function of that is just to pay their bills so that they can live.
And do what they want and what they dream to do.
Yeah. And, like, I think capitalism has, like, twisted things in a way where, like, people feel like they're dream, their like goal always has to be tied to a job, and I think that's like really kind of toxic.
Yeah, or people whose job or whose dream is just to earn money. It's not even about the job, but you like cut out the middleman and they just want to be rich.
Yeah, which like I mean same,
but only so that you can escape like the
like
not just to hoard money.
Yeah, I want to be rich so that I can buy shit for my friends and cook fancy food
and do the things that you actually want to do, like your actual dream existence.
Yeah, like I want to. Yeah, so I don't know, I am thinking about that a little bit, just like this whole like sort of grind, and people talk about it all the time, but like this like grind and like workaholic kind of culture that we have, where it's like, you know, if you're not doing this extra stuff once you get home from work, you know, you're obviously not going to succeed and like you should stay poor and blah blah blah. Like I have seen people on my Facebook and on Instagram like share things like that, and it just blows my mind. It's like, don't you think people deserve like to rest and to enjoy the life that they are living? Because you can't work when you're dead, you can't do anything when you're dead, so like this is the thing that we are supposed to do, and it's just like living.
So what do you want to do? What are you working to fuel?
I don't even know. It's just, like, whatever I feel like. I really like making stuff. I like cooking a lot. Like, I really like cooking. Obviously, if I could, I would be just cooking and then just giving the food away.
Yeah.
Like, I really want to do that. I just am not in a place right now where I can afford to do that.
Right. Because of money.
Yeah, I mean, because of capitalism, like, it is, you know, but there is actually locally sort of a small, I don't know if I would call them an organization right now. I think they're just an Instagram account that does that. You know, they'll take your order, they list the menu for the week, you tell them, oh, I want this, and there's a group of people locally that do that, where they'll post their menu for the week, you submit your order, and yeah, the meal is free.
That's incredible.
So, and I really want to do something like that, because people deserve to eat good food even if they can't afford it, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, just vibing. Don't really know what my goal is, but like also don't really care that I don't know what my goal is, which is good. Because I used to care a lot because I tied it to a job.
Right.
And so I feel like, you know, even if the job that I have right now is not the job that I'm going to have forever, which, again, I don't really care about, it's a job that right now allows me to at least think about what I really want.
Yeah, and I feel like that's, like, just as important a pursuit as actually doing the damn thing. Like, finding what makes you happy and what you want to do is, especially right now in this sort of, like, post-grad phase.
Yeah.
Like, like, that's what we should be doing.
Yeah, I mean, it's so hard to see people who are, like, struggling with that, because I totally understand. I know what that feels like. It is not a good feeling.
Yeah.
But, like, you just don't, you don't have to have it figured out. I know it's really, really tough to not have it figured out, because so much is tied to having a job and having a good job. And so, like, when you feel like you don't know, you always feel like there's something better that you could be doing. And you have this feeling of, like, well, I'm not there. So you feel unsettled. You feel in the air. Like, it doesn't feel good. But I don't know. I feel like there's more we can talk about. Maybe we can talk about it another time. But, like, it's tough out there. And just, like, if you just can find something that you can tolerate so that you can have some moments of, like, peace and enjoyment, know that, like, a lot of people look for that.
Yeah, and, like, that's okay if that's enough.
Yeah. And it totally, you know, I don't know, it could be enough.
Dude, I just want to buy an old farmhouse and, like, fix it up and only wear sheer cotton dresses and, like, wear my hair in a long braid and make someone coffee in the morning.
Yeah, I definitely...
That's it. Like...
I can see that happening.
That or, like, a coffee shop slash used bookstore, except I, like, give away all the books and I give people free refills on their coffee and never make a profit.
Yeah,
so I think, like, basically my dream is just, like, making coffee for people, but not in, like, a profitable sort of, like, capitalist way. I just want to, like, nourish people and give them, like, good space to, like, be, I don't know. I feel like I'm, like, circling on something. Like, the thing I like most about my job right now is that I get to, like, create a space for my student employees that, like, they get to grow and feel themselves. And, like, I'm noticing, like, a similar trend in other parts of my life, that I feel most myself and I feel most whole when I'm making space for other people to feel themselves and feel whole. And I don't know, like, what that's gonna, like, how that's gonna shake out. But I've found that really rewarding lately, of, like, this sort of, like, facilitator, like, service aspect. Kayla's writing me notes right now.
I don't know if I spelled it right.
Guidance counselor requires a whole ass degree that I don't have.
Something like that.
Yeah, but I don't know. And, like, maybe that's, like, I don't know. It could be, like, any number of things, right? Like, it could be, I could be a manager. I could be a boss. I could be, you know.
That's true. I mean, you would be surprised at the impact those people have.
Yeah.
Even, like, knowing how, you know, regular or whatever they are, how common.
I just want to make people, or, like, help people feel good. And, like, help them, like, discover the things that I've learned for myself that make me feel, like, a better version of myself. Mm-hmm. But also, like, the sheer cotton dresses are, like, a big part of it.
True. So, I get it. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that really expensive nightgown that I bought, if I could wear that everywhere, it would be great, but you can totally see through it.
I just want to live in a world where, like, it's fine to just, like, nip out every day of my life.
Hell yeah. We're getting there, I think.
I think that's why I need the farmhouse.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right.
Well, I don't have it in me.
Do you want to do the New Year's story?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Okay. So here's the thing. We promised you last episode that we would tell you another classic Abby and Kayla drinking story. This one takes place this year.
Sorry, saying that is ridiculous.
I know. A different version of this year. It was a pre-COVID year.
Oh, God.
Sicily, January 2020. it wasn't Sicily, but it was January 2020, which feels like a fucking lifetime ago.
Yeah. Can you believe that we haven't snuggled since January?
No, that hurts my heart.
Yeah.
I need the snugs.
Oh, my God. I need this to be over. No. Anyway, New Year's story.
So my brother-in-law, Armenian. You know what's a big deal in Armenia is New Year's. Where it's like, it's basically like the way that people do Christmas in the States is kind of how New Year's, like the amount of a big deal it is in Armenia for New Year's. And yeah. So like people make a shitload of food. Like you go and visit. It's very like, that's when all the.
Don't they party for like a week straight?
They party for like several days. I can't remember how many days.
Okay.
It's a lot. And so naturally we did an Armenian New Year's. And so we made lots of dolma, which are the like grape leaves stuffed with beef and rice and spices. Oh God.
It was so good.
And we made so many of them. Then like,
and that sauce he makes for them.
The matzo and the like garlic yogurt sauce. And then we had Armenian pickles. So we had like pickled like cabbage and carrot,
cauliflower.
Yeah, cauliflower, beets.
Ugh, those pickles were so good.
And then we had just like a fuckload of chips. Like there were chips and then there were like other chips and there were like, dear God, the motherfucking chips. We had some dips in there too, but mostly it was chips. There was a lot of wine. Matter of fact, there were like several boxes of wine, such as the one I'm drinking right now. So we fucking housed that wine and that food and those chips. And it was like 8 p.m. and we were all so full. We were like literally laying on my floor of my apartment, like trying to rally. Like, oh no, what have we done?
We were like, what should we do? Like, where should we, like, it's New Year's Eve. What are we going to do? Should we go to
sleep? Is it too early? It was 8 o'clock. Like, all nursing our beautiful little food babies. But
we were your parents were in town, and that was the hard part.
What do you mean?
Because, like, if your parents had been in town, we could have just, like, partied with them.
Yeah, but we had to go do, like, young people shit at a bar or whatever, because it was...
I know, but, like, the year before, we just ate 10 corn dogs with your parents.
That's true, we did that. So, we rallied, because, like, I feel like the oldest among us was, like, 28, and we were like, we cannot go to bed at 8 o'clock on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
So we rallied, and we packed wine into go cups and piled in an Uber.
That didn't happen.
You know what? I can't remember if I was remembering another night, but whatever. I trust Kayla.
The to-go cups wine has definitely happened, but it wasn't New Year's.
Okay. Well, so be it.
We chugged.
In which case, whatever. So we got to the bar. And there was, like, a full-on line outside.
And, Abby, can you even imagine doing that right now?
Not at all. Too many people.
Because we were people were, like, up on each other. Because everybody was, like, how many more people do you have? Like, because they were, like, letting people out and then letting more people in. Like, it was at capacity. And so everybody was, like, on top of each other.
And it wasn't even, like, social distancing COVID capacity. It was, like, fire capacity. It was, like, how many people can you fucking cram in that space?
Yeah, there was no room to do anything. It was absurd.
We were full of regret. And wine.
Yep.
But we went into the bar anyways. And we ordered some margaritas, which... I made up when I was drunkenly writing this outline. They were just margaritas. Although I think we had some spicy margaritas, which were really good.
Yeah, those were
they got
tasty.
Fresh jalapenos in them. And so there was a dance floor, of course. And Arsene, my brother, and I, we danced hard. And we were, like, all fucking mashed up against a bunch of strangers. And we probably got COVID-19. That's probably where it started. But you know what? Those were simpler times, and I fucking miss going out dancing, dude. Like, I would slit a throat to be on a dance floor safely right now.
Yeah, I was afraid, and right now, like, if it could happen safely, like, I would, there's nothing I wouldn't do.
But it's, like, also not the same to do it, like, at someone's house from like 6 feet apart, it's not as good.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely not. No. Like,
I need to be like drunk at a bar with a bunch of strangers, like grinding all over each other.
Yeah, if we can develop like an accurate test that like you can just test someone immediately as they go into the bar, like I'll do
can
it.
Can we please go dancing like the second this is over?
Oh yeah, absolutely. We're gonna get okay. You already know.
I do know. Well, guess what, listeners? If anybody wants to come, like, just hit us up. You're welcome.
Yeah.
Wait, we got to tell the Halloween story from that time in Richmond at some point.
Yeah, that'll be the next episode. That was wild. Like, this is a different Halloween story. God, people are gonna be like, "Do you guys have a problem?"
Once a year, yeah.
Yeah, it's not a regular thing, to be honest with you. God, yeah, New Year's was. It was so much fun. It was so much fun.
So we danced. Kayla was drunkenly grinding on her boyfriend, which is fucking disgusting. Wait, that was her note. I wasn't supposed to say that.
I didn't think it was going to happen. I was, like, genuinely convinced that he, like, wasn't going to dance. And then he came up and I was like, okay, I guess we're dancing. And I was like, oh, this is kind of embarrassing, but I'm going to keep going.
I feel like anytime you rub your ass on someone, it's fine. It's fine.
It was like, but it was like the most like low effort grinding.
Literally just standing still and you were doing all the grinding.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yes. So after the dance floor, I can't really remember what happened so much. Although we played air hockey because there's also like arcade games at that place. And I remember
That place was cool.
Winning. All right.
Ooh. All right. Well, I remember winning at basketball, so
whatever. And then we went out onto the patio to drink some more margaritas and chain smoke, as one does. And we got chips
on New Year's.
And This is my favorite part of the story. Kayla got queso all the fuck over herself.
Okay, look, there was a point when nobody was eating any more of the chips and queso, so I was only eating the chips and queso. Which, again, like, can you imagine sharing chips and queso with a stranger right now? No.
That's true. Because they
but I was just like,
they
sweet.
Were chips for the patio. I feel like they weren't, like.
Yeah. No, it wasn't. Yeah. No, they were everyone's chips and queso. And I was just like, fine. Nobody's even looking. Like, I'm about to crush this shit. Like, there are a few foods that I genuinely can't control myself around, and chips and any kind of dip, that's one
true.
Of them.
True. Yeah, I will eat chips until I'm ready to die.
Like, let's see. I had this job one time. Oh, at the sex store.
Really?
When I used to work at the sex shop, we had a lunch break. And I would just bring a jar of like paste salsa and some Totinos, whatever the hell, the tortilla chips, and like my half measuring cup from my kitchen because it was the perfect shape to like scoop a chip into. Oh, and I would eat that for dinner. Like, I'm telling you, chips and dip they're so good. And so I was just, like, going ham because I didn't want anybody to come over and get any more of them.
And somehow she ended up with queso, like, streaked all over the back of her jacket.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened because it was the back of me. And I nobody said anything. And I didn't notice until, like, 3 weeks later. When I was about to do the laundry.
And you would like cross state lines at that point.
Yeah, I was like 600 miles away from where we were when the queso incident first happened.
And I think it's still there to this day, isn't it?
I don't know. I keep that jacket in the trunk of my car. So
the queso, probably. So we were out there vibing, and we made drunk friends with some strangers, and this girl was like hitting on my gay ass brother with his gay ass husband. Ooh, like, sweetie, like, it is 2020 and we are all gay.
Yep.
And the other thing I remember about that night is the bouncer was a literal child. Like, what child is this who laid to rest? Like, And I remember telling us that he was about to be a freshman, and I think I offered him a job at the library. But he never followed up, though, so we're good.
Did you hear that?
No.
That was my cat. Oh, that's bad. I can do it again. Do you want me to do it again?
No. Yeah. Yeah, so that was our New Year's incident.
And then the next day, obviously, okay. No, I think I remember, like, being on the couch after we got home. And, like, I was fine. I was totally fine the whole time. Like, I was drunk, but I was, like, okay. And then I got on the couch, and I was just sitting there, and I started crying. And everyone was like, okay, we have to go to bed.
That's right. Oh, no.
It was absurd. Oh, God. But then,
No, the next day we woke up, that's how we got here. We woke up and we were like, God fucking damn it. And we ordered like $80 worth of pho to be delivered to my apartment and just fucking housed it.
There's no way it was only $80.
How many? I mean, there was five of us.
Five of us, but we also got like three or four appetizers.
That's true. It was
like, we got like seven orders of like spring rolls.
God, I would fuck up a spring roll right now.
I haven't had pho since then. Oh, no, that's not true. That's not true.
I was going to
say. I remember early on when, like, people were talking about COVID, but they weren't, like, it wasn't, like, a big deal. And I remember going to this pho restaurant in Connecticut, and somebody, I heard somebody say something about how, like, oh, this person is really nervous about coronavirus, and so they're being extra careful about, like, the bread. And I was like, what the fuck? You can't get COVID from bread?
What?
Which I still stand by it.
Well, yeah, no science has ever supported that.
So, yeah, throwback to my last pho.
R.I.P. Dude.
Anyway, yeah, that's a New Year's story.
That was a good one. Okay, well, I guess we can tie it up there. That feels like a really good place to end.
Yeah, that was fun. I missed that. I can't wait to do that again.
I can't wait to grind on a stranger and then get queso all over your back.
I'm going to predict it not for New Year's 2021, but 2022. Okay.
Listeners, you're all right. We're going to throw down.
I think we should just plan it now, like with everybody, like the OG crew. Like a reunion 2 years later.
Yes. Where are they now? Prison.
Yes.
Well,
Abby, I'm gonna piss my pants right now. All right, so
let's just fucking end it there then.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Love you, bye.